All right, we're going to get after it tonight because it's camp. And I didn't really grow up because, like Landon told you, I didn't necessarily grow up in the power and presence of God. But once I came to God and I was dating Landon, I remember experiencing God in the most incredible ways at youth camp. Some of the funnest times, but the most powerful times ever spent in the presence of God. And that's, for me, the hard thing about the conferences that everybody has. They can be cool and lots of performances, but it's lacking the presence of God, the deliverance and the healing power of God that I know changes life. So we're going to get after it tonight. Worship team, be ready, because I'm not going to preach too long. So there's going to be a lot of ministry time, but I wasn't here for pre-service prayer because I was up being a mom with my baby boy up in the room, and Landon just said something down here, so I didn't know because I wasn't at pre-service prayer, but I guess you guys were like running around the room or marching around the room during prayer, and as I was worshiping, I had a vision of us doing that tonight. And so whatever happened at pre-service prayer was a warm-up, okay? Because we're going to get after it tonight because the Lord showed me. And exactly what Landon said, I don't know if we use titles, whatever, Pastor Landon, but I know there's honor in this place, so whatever about titles. But okay. We're staying in the spirit right now, not in the flesh. So what I was saying was a vision the Lord gave me. And so, seriously, that totally finished. Okay. So afterwards, I saw us marching around this place. Okay, that's right. And then he also mentioned that the praise and the marching that was going to go, that went forth, was bring freedom to those that were in bondage in homosexuality. Well, the Lord was putting in my spirit to cry out, because we all know what happened Friday where it was legalized, okay? A rough day for the church, but I know that in these times, that the more the enemy tries to take over our people, our nation, this world, is the more God is going to show off, right? But I want to let you know that these times are so important for your generation, because it was just like when they were crying out for Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was saying, God, is there 10 righteous men? Okay, is there 9 righteous men? Okay, and he worked all the way down because he said, save our land if you can find just one righteous man. And out of my spirit came tonight, Lord, look at all those that are righteous worshiping you tonight. Protect and save our land for those that are here tonight. And I want to say something prophetically into you, is that I know that you're young and you have young teenager things that are going on inside of you. And this wasn't part of my message, but I just feel the Holy Spirit wants me to say it to you tonight, is where you are at right now, okay, in your walk with God, what you believe in, okay, you are called for such a time as this. The times that we are in have never been in the history of America. So your praise and your worship is that much more important now, because it shakes hell in what he's trying to do in our nation. And as you are worshiping and praising God tonight, I saw this marching and like hell trembling underneath of you, because the anointing that is inside of you, you're young and you're strong. God is raising you up for such a time as this to bring freedom and deliverance and truth to your generation. Okay, so it is so, so important. Man, we're going to get into this word, but I just felt like that this week completely is going to be a time set apart. It'll be a time I remember, it'll be a time you remember, and there's going to be things that are going to take place in the spiritual realm through your praise and your worship. Okay, so we're going to be in Judges 4, and I'm going to read the story just in case some of you don't know it. So just follow along, because it's the full chapter I'm going to be reading. It's not too long, but I want you to really listen and receive this, because I'm going to be in this scripture all night. So Judges chapter 4. Again, the Israelites did, and stay with me, because of course the Old Testament has some very interesting names for everything, and I'm just going to tell you, I don't know how to pronounce all of them, but that's not the point. So, well, I'm just going to read it, and we're going to get what the Spirit of the Lord wants us to get from this. So, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, now that Ehud was dead. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Sisera, the commander of his army, was based in Harosheth because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. They cried to the Lord for help. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held her court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinadab from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to the Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." Listen. Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go, but if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Certainly I will go with you," said Deborah, "but because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. There Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command. Deborah also went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree near Kadesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinadab, had gone up to the Mount Tabor, Sisera summoned from Harosheth to the Kishon River all of his men and his 900 chariots fitted with iron. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera in your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down to Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all of his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Now listen, Barak pursued the chariots and army for Harosheth, and all of Sisera's troops fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, meanwhile, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there was an alliance between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the family of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid." So he entered her tent, and she covered him with a blanket. "I'm thirsty," he said. "Please give me some water." So she opened a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him up. "Stand in the doorway of the tent," he told her. "If someone comes by and asks you, is anyone in there, say no." But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. And she drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Just then, Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. "Come," she said, "I will show you the man you are looking for." So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with a tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, before the Israelites, and the hand of the Israelites pressed harder and harder against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they destroyed him. Let's pray. Lord, I just declare your will be done tonight, Father. Replace my words with your words, Holy Spirit. Use me and guide me for these young people tonight, Lord. I thank you are raising them up for such a time as this, God, that you are going to impart a message that changes their lives, Father, that this is truth, God. And I declare that the truth set us free tonight. Ignite us on fire for your purposes. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So this is like, if you could follow along, I know that was a long story, but this is like the coolest war story ever like done. If this was a movie, okay, let me break it down first of all, is it's like, you know, oh, now I'm forgetting the name of a movie, so I'm not going to even go there. I do like war movies, though. I can't remember the names of them. But let's break this down for a second, okay? So you have, like, this crazy, scary, huge army, hundreds of chariots, been oppressing the Israelites for, like, 20 years. And now you have God that uses a woman to not only politically but spiritually lead a nation, and now he calls her to even come and lead the army, who's very weak, okay, definitely the underdog, so to speak, okay, And God says, you're going to go forth. I'm going to give you victory. Okay? So now you have the leading command of the army who's shrinking back, fearful. But here's the woman who's the prophet leading the nation who comes over this army and says, no, we're going to go take victory. They go take victory. Okay? They start killing and taking out this army. And then on top of it, here comes the leader of that army who's supposed to have thousands and thousands should be killing the Israelites. He's running for his life and runs straight into a woman's tent, which, by the way, was against the law of that time. You never entered a woman's tent, and especially a married woman's tent, but he runs for her tent for cover. Now he's afraid, and he's thinking he's in safety, and this crazy woman takes a peg and a hammer and nails it through his head. Can you imagine that being made into a movie, right? That would be so sweet on the big screen, okay? It needs to happen. So I'm reading this, but here's the thing, and I keep saying it. Deborah, a woman who's leading and judging Israel, she was the judge of that time. The people came to her to judge the matters, and she was also a prophet, so people came to her to hear from God. And so in every way she was leading Israel, and now God uses her in a fearless way to lead in war, to take victory. Many people, men, not just men, but as humans, would look at this story and say, how unqualified and unfit for a woman to lead. And I was praying about this, and I was reading, and I felt the Lord speak to me and say, isn't that how I choose so many of my young men and women of God? How I chose you, Heather, is that you were completely unfit and you were completely unqualified, that man may never have chose you because of the mistakes that you made, or because the unqualifications of never being in Bible college to be traveling and preaching. But isn't that why I chose you? So that I could get the glory, because without me, it couldn't happen. God right now is using and calling out young people that are completely unqualified and unfit for his purposes, so that he gets his glory. Barak, who should have been the fearless leader and honored in battle like we see in every war movie, was full of fear. But not only full of fear, I discern that he probably lacked an intimate relationship with God. The reason how I come to that is because he couldn't lead in faith. If he couldn't lead in faith, then it's probably because he wasn't the one hearing from God, because he probably didn't have that intimate relationship with God. And that so many times like us is, God, use me, God, use me, God, use me. But in our personal time, are we in pursuit of a deeper relationship with our Father? And we hear about it a lot in church, but then that time comes up and we have that free time, but instead it's listening to music or turning on a video game or texting my girlfriend or running to the mall to buy a new outfit. And we have that moment in time. It's a sacrifice to be kneeling before God and saying, Lord, use me. God, speak to me. Teach me. Lord, your servant is listening. But this is who Deborah was. It says, 1 Timothy 1:7, we've heard this scripture before, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So you have God giving this woman, or this unlikely individual, because it's not that she was a woman. It was that she was unlikely for the position, but he gave her the authority to lead an army, because of her personal relationship with God. Through her relationship in that time, she gained authority from her Father. Young people, you will gain authority in spending time with God. You will shrink back in fear less and less the more time that you spend with God. Because you will begin to hear his voice and direction all the time. That all of a sudden when you're in the grocery store or at school and the Lord gives you a prophetic word, fear is the secondary thing that comes in, because your confidence is brewing, because you know you've heard the presence. You know you've heard the voice of God because you've heard it on a daily basis. It's not something the first or second time, but you've heard it on a daily basis. Our relationship with God will directly affect our faith and calling. I'm going to say it again. Our relationship with God will directly affect our faith and the calling of God on your life. Here's why. Because your relationship with God is what brings you your godly confidence. I'm not talking about confidence because you lost 10 pounds. I'm not talking about confidence because the guys were hollering at you because your new outfit. I'm not talking about confidence because you're the best athlete in your school. I'm not talking about confidence because it's, you know, three lines down where your daddy's dad's dad and they're all the greatest preachers and prophesied, and so I can walk around cocky because it's just handed to me. I'm not talking about that type of confidence. I'm talking about confidence that was handed down from your Father in heaven because he's spoken to you and you know you've heard him and you don't have to fear anything else because you know his voice, and all you have to do is walk out in obedience and watch his blessing on your life for your obedience. It is impossible to fully walk out what you are called to do without faith and no relationship with God. It is absolutely impossible. It is absolutely impossible to walk out what you are called to do with a lack of faith and no relationship with Jesus. We have so many Christians all the time that are walking around, and yes, they are believers in God and they might have asked Jesus into their heart, but young people, that is the beginning stage of Christianity. That is not walking in a relationship with him. What do I mean by walking in a relationship with him? Talking with him, asking him about major decisions and small decisions in your life, like who you're going to date, if that person is for you or not. And if he says no and you don't feel peace about it, walking in obedience against it and not going out with that person. It's asking God what he thinks and cares about in your life and following what he says to do. That is walking in relationship with him, spending time with him, spending more time with him than other things. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." So here's what you are called to set an example in. The Word of God says this is what you are called to set an example in. One, your words. You need to be setting an example in what you speak and what you say in your home, in your schools, everywhere you go. Conviction on all of us, right? My words can be out of control sometimes. So I guarantee as young people, you struggle in that area. But the Word says God will be a strength to you in where your weakness is. So you need to set an example in your words. Number two, in how you act. Hello. You call yourself a Christian and people know you go to church and you're on fire for God, they're going to be watching how you act. That's just how it is. It doesn't mean you have to be perfect, okay? But it means, wait, I know people are watching me and I can either positively influence them for Jesus or completely disgust them and they may never want anything to do with Christianity because of how I act, but what I say I am. Number three, how you love yourself and others. You know, we can love people but disagree with the way that they're living. That's okay. We can continually love. My daughter, when she's naughty, which is a lot these days because she's about to be four, she's gone through the threes. Twos were a breeze compared to threes. Anyways, I don't love her less on the days that she's really naughty and she has to have two spankings that day. I don't love her less. I love her the same as I did the day before when she was amazing, saying, "Yes, mommy," and helping me clean the house. My love does not change. And it's the same for those around us. We love them despite what they're going through, but we can still speak truth into them. Number four, how we set an example is in your faith in God. Your faith in God. It is one thing for us to say, again, we are a Christian, but then God tells you to do something and all of a sudden I'm fearful. Wait, I can't do that. I can't. Wait, so fear rules over faith? As a Christian, we are called to lead, and the Bible says set an example in our faith, right? As some of you might have been with us when we led that outreach downtown Tucson and witnessed people either ask Jesus into their life or receive a prophetic word or receive healing in their life. That's what happens when you step out in faith. God will show off through you, and he will set other people on fire because you were obedient and you showed them true faith in God instead of just saying it. You walked it out. And number five, so important, you are called to set an example in purity. Purity starts in your mind because you allow yourself to think on things too much, especially young men. If you allow images and wrong thoughts over and over and over, you will begin to act on it. So how are you going to set an example in your actions when your mind's a mess? Okay, so purity starts in your thoughts. Okay, purity is in your words. Purity is in how you treat one another. Purity is in what you are looking at, that we respect girls and, okay, we respect them by not looking at certain areas, okay? And a girl can be beautiful, but we don't need to be disrespectful with our words towards them, okay? So we are to live a life in purity. Same thing, young women, with what you wear. You are called and set apart to live a pure life for Jesus. Don't be trying to attract no guys with body parts by wearing almost nothing. That is not fashion. Fashion is clothes. So to be fashionable, you need clothes on, okay? Okay. Holla. Okay, so we're going to get back to this. Deborah was these things, okay? She set an example for those around her, and just so much that that's who God decided to choose to lead her people and lead them into victory, okay? So God chose her, yes, unlikely, but because she was godly. Yeah, worship team, I'm going to go ahead and invite you up right now. We just say, Holy Spirit, come and minister to us right now. God is drawn to what we think are our weaknesses, okay? Sometimes we try to cover them up, or we are embarrassed by them. We might think we're not smart enough or popular enough or thin enough or strong enough or athletic enough or whatever it is, okay? Especially in the world we live in right now, there's ridiculous pressures of certain ways to fit in. That's so not God's kingdom. It's not. And I feel like you guys, you're even more mature that I don't need to say too much. Yes, you were created in his image perfectly and wonderfully, okay? But you need to receive those words and not just hear them religiously all the time. You need to hear them and receive them and begin to walk them out. Because when you receive the word of God, it's life. It's life inside of you. It ignites you. You will begin to walk differently. You'll begin to preach differently. You'll begin to speak differently. And everything, your relationships will change. When you receive the word of God inside of you and you let it change you instead of just hearing it. He is drawn to the unattractive qualities in us. Why? Because he gets the glory. When you are unqualified and chosen, people can't look to you. They look to God. Did you hear what I just said? When you are unqualified but still chosen, people can't look to you. They have to look to God. What an amazing plan, because we have an entire nation that needs to look to God. So as imperfect as you are, great. Let God be glorified through your imperfections so that people can say, how in the world is that nerd over there having hundreds of people at the school around them and they're getting healed and they're prophesying? That's like the biggest nerd in our school. How is that going on? There has to be a real God.
How is this person doing that? How is this person healed? They were in a wheelchair. How is this person, you know, leading this? Or how does this person invite me to church? I'm the popular one, and now I'm the one on my face crying and bawling, and they have all these friends, and that's what you're called to do. Guess what? I was the popular one in school that all of the religious folk were so afraid to come up to me, and God had his plan, but I'm telling you what. I probably would have gone if they would have asked me. Probably would have. And that was an opportunity missed. God got a hold of me later, but that God could have got a hold of me sooner before I almost lost my life. You are not called to shrink back in fear to any man. You are called to everyone in this generation. You are called to everyone in this generation to glorify God because the time is now. They need a Savior in their life. And so here's what I say to you tonight. It doesn't matter what you think you lack or what you aren't good at or what wrong you've done when your heart is submitted to God, because man doesn't get a choice on whether or not to use you or promote you, because you are God's. Men will become God's puppets to promote you and use you because God has chosen you. So you don't need God's or man's praise. You don't need it. You don't need man's praise. You need God's mark on your life. You don't need man's praise. You need God's mark on your life. I'm going to tell you right now, all throughout the Bible, God used the unlikely. Let's start in Judges. There was Othniel. That's how you say his name. This is what the word of God says. But when they cried out to the Lord, the Israelites, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, Caleb's younger, everybody say younger, younger brother who saved them. The younger brother was not called. It was always the older brother with the blessing and to lead. But it says Caleb's younger brother was called by God as the deliverer who saved them. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Then there was Ehud. Again, the Israelites cried out to the Lord, and he gave them a deliverer. Ehud, a left-handed, say a left-handed man who was looked down upon. Back then, if you had any kind of ailment in you, they thought it was something demonic about you. But God chose the left-headed man as the deliverer. Then we just read about Deborah, who was a woman judge and prophet. Then there was Gideon. It says, but Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest. Say weakest. In Manasseh, and I am the least. Say least. In my family, the Lord answered, I will be with you. And then there was Abraham, who God showed off over and over, but I picked this passage. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. Say old age. 100 years old, to be exact. Moses, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow, say slow, of speech and tongue. But the Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say. Then there was Samuel. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. Say boy. So Eli told Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. Then there was David. There is still the youngest. Say, youngest. Jesse answered, but he is tending the sheep. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. Then there was David with Goliath. When Saul replied, you are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy. Say a boy. and he has been a fighting man from his youth. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Then there was Esther and Mordecai. Mordecai, who was a prisoner. It says that he was carried into exile under Nebuchadnezzar. That Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, also known as Esther, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. She was an orphan. Say orphan. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen, who brought freedom to her people. Then there was Jeremiah. Come on, band, get behind me. Jeremiah. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. Say a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send to you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then there was Jonah. Jonah, who ran away from God, but God used him to bring to salvation to Nineveh. Then there was John the Baptist, who the Bible says was an odd man. His clothes were made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts. He didn't care. He lived differently than everybody else, but God used him to preach repentance to the people. Then there was disciples, where over half of them were fishermen. They were only ordinary men, not preachers, not priests, not leaders in the city. They were ordinary men. Then there was Mary, the woman with the alabaster jar that the Bible says was a woman of many sins. Say many sins. Who anointed Jesus' feet before he was crucified. Then there was Paul, who persecuted, say persecuted, the Jews, and he imprisoned them, and he murdered them. But God chose him as one of the great voices after the resurrection. Then there was Timothy, who was timid, say timid. And he was unsure, but he was chosen as the spiritual son of Paul, whom Paul would choose to pass the torch on to. Then there was Jesus, who ultimately God chose to send us a son who was a man, say man, born by a young girl, say a young girl. Mary, who was an unknown until chosen. She was unknown, but she bore a son who was a carpenter, our Savior. Young people, God loves to choose people that are unlikely vessels because he is glorified in our lives. And so tonight, this is what we're going to do. Every excuse that you have given to God of why you cannot be chosen, why you can't walk out the call of God quite yet on your life, because you don't have enough money, or because you were born in the wrong family, or what sex, or what race, or whatever excuses you've been giving God, the victim mentality is out. The excuses are out tonight, and I'm telling you, you are chosen by God. Can you put this, my thing up in the monitors. You are chosen by God, young people, for such a time as this. Your voices, I declare, are anointed voices. Stand to your feet in this place. I should not be married to a pastor and preaching around the country with my husband. I was dead for 3 days from an overdose. I committed every sin pretty much there was to commit other than murder, which I came close to a couple of times. But God, just like Alex talked about in the beginning, knew if he could use this broken, young, addicted girl to preach around the country and write a book, that he would get the glory. I have had so many emails and messages through Facebook from people from college saying, what in the world, Heather? One, I had no clue you went through all that. Second of all, I never thought you'd marry a pastor and become a preacher. And I laugh reading them. Because despite the fact that they may not know every story that I wrote in that book, they knew I was a lost soul. They knew I was. But because of God. So I'm looking at each one of your faces tonight. I don't care what you think you've said to yourself over and over of not being good enough or whatever. Girls, I'm looking in your faces tonight, and I can see it written all over your faces. There is going to be a godly confidence that comes on us tonight, and a pursuit of all things holy, and a relationship with God that's going to transform your life. And guess what happens? When that transformation happens in your life, you can't keep it inside of you. You have to release it and get it out to those that don't know Him. You have to get it out to those that are in bondage. So this is what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to have everybody come up to this altar. That you say, yes, Heather, I've been giving myself excuses of why I'm not good enough to fully be used for God. I love God. I love church. I love being a part. But I'm not fully being used by God because I've thought less of myself than what God does. If that's you tonight, those things are breaking, and I want you to come to this altar right now. They're going to break off tonight. Come down to this altar if you've been giving yourself excuses because it's over tonight. You're a generation that's called as an army. There's not one or two couple celebrity preachers anymore. God needs an army that's ready to rise up for the things of God and His kingdom. Not for personal gains, not to build our own kingdoms, but to build His kingdom. And God's going to use every one of you in His culture, in this culture, in your schools, in your families, everywhere. He's going to use you. Begin to lift your hands. And I want you to ask right now for forgiveness for every area that you have said you're not good enough. I want you to begin to ask for forgiveness to God in the areas that you've given Him excuses of why He cannot use you. God, right now we come to You and we ask You, forgive us, oh God. Make us holy. Renew our minds, God. We rebuke You, devil. We declare You have no authority over our minds. Put Your hands on your head. Put Your hands on your head. We rebuke every demonic thought in the name of Jesus. And I declare a spirit of freedom to come forth right now. Bring freedom to their minds right now. And every lie of the devil, oh God, we declare, have Your way in this generation. Raise them up as an army, oh God, for the things of You to influence culture in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or video, please visit us at therev.com or search for us on iTunes.